any further thoughts today? How's
Well, I think
how did you see it in the cold light?
Well, I think it looks pretty good. John Ehrlichman thinks it looks good, and I've just been going over with Len Gorman, who thinks it looks good.
Len hasn't left yet.
No, he hasn't.
He's going to Shakespeare, huh? I think they're going to take a trip.
Yeah, that's right. They were going to, yes.
It's a great thing. You know, he's going to visit those trade fairs and so forth. He's going to have a great time.
Mm-hmm. And
they're going to Asia. But they both are, they feel all right about it, do they?
I think so, yes. In terms of tone and approach and so forth. And John was very enthusiastic.
What's that?
And John Ehrlichman was very enthusiastic.
All right, good.
He wanted to talk to you about that, the reference to the Secretary of Treasury in there. He thought it possibly raised a couple of questions which he wanted to take up with you first. Whether it might be seen as a slap at the Vice President because it was an intergovernmental thing.
Well, that's true, but we've got to find a way to do both then. You have the intergovernmental thing, but we need the... If you could have a reference to the Secretary of the Treasury where you talk about the tax reform, in other words, a sentence like the tax reform part, and then say I have directed the Secretary of the Treasury to, you know, to initiate studies in this field, and then go to the IRA or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and say under the chairmanship of the Vice President,
mm-hmm.
Is doing this and that. Could you do it that way?
I could try it. Mm-hmm.
If you could try it that way, I just want to be very sure that we have great sensitivity there. But I'm not so concerned about the Agnew more and the Treasury thing, because the Treasury really have to depend upon, and the Agnew I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got two or three other thoughts that I'll work in tonight
mm-hmm.
that have to do with that. Just a second, let me get see if I can find my notes here. Wondering if you might try out it that where we come toward the after giving the laundry list that something along this line: welfare reform has been before the Congress for over 2.5 years, revenue sharing, government reorganization, our programs on the environment, on health, on education have been before the Congress for as long as a period of almost a year, for as long as a year, or something like that. 1971 was a year for consideration. 1972 should be the year for action. I'm just thinking of making it a little tougher in that
mm-hmm.
respect.
Mm-hmm.
Would you play with that a bit, and I run it by Ehrlichman to see what he thinks, and by McGregor,
mm-hmm.
That part, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now it's a little stronger with the the great Congress idea, don't you?
I think it's a pretty good idea. I'm not sure whether Congress is the best thing to, when you're talking
a bunch of slobs like this,
or when you're saying what the generations to come will say.
Yeah.
There might just be some different some way of putting it in.
Yeah.
This was describing it a little bit.
Yeah. Fine. Try. Fine. All right. Good. Good. Try and find some other way to put it. But we can always play with that right to the last.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fine. Ray. Colson, please.
Thank you, sir.
Rather got the same impression when our people called him. Oh, no, but that wasn't that way.
No, it was different.
Call.
It was different, and you'd have to watch the two to really appreciate the difference.
You don't think it was exactly the same, huh?
Oh, not at all. No analogy at all. You took him in stride. You were very gentlemanly. Muskie was not. Muskie was obviously irritated. He was terribly evasive. He just kept bobbing and weaving on the questions, and his answers weren't good. I mean, you had crisp, factual, very precise, nothing vague about any of your answers in the Rather thing. And Rather was tough on you, but you handled it gracefully. These guys were tough on Muskie, and he handled...
There have been a number of columns on the Rather thing which are quite interesting, and it doesn't bother me a bit. Most of them, the TV columns, do not take him on at all, which is all right, but they do say that it was one of those where both came off well. That's quite interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
That's good for our side.
Oh.
Rather people feel good about it, don't they? How do they feel?
I think the CBS people were a little shaken up because...
Really?
Yes, sir. They never heard a word from us, but they heard a good bit from the Heartland, and I've been watching the Letters to the Editor column, which I think is very revealing.
I didn't call CBS, but I wrote Cronkite on another matter. I guess that was it.
Well, Cronkite wrote you about the NBC Day in the Life of the Presidency.
I wrote to him.
Extraordinary letter from him, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
No, these are not comparable, Mr. President. This fellow did not show the mettle to
you
be...
You think that they got some letters from the Heartland on the Rather show?
Oh, I know they did. And, we know of many they
some
received.
Of our, but what about others, too?
We have reason to think so from what they indicated there.
Mm-hmm.
Their mail was running. It was heavier than we had generated. And we heard from people who said that they had been incensed over it, and it's mostly partisans.
Sure. What we have to realize, though, Chuck, is that generally speaking, people are on the side of the person being subjected to the Inquisition, you know.
That's
Bill Rogers' point.
Yes, and he may have a point in that respect, but I think that's right. If Muskie had appeared bruised or had appeared offended or had been big about it, but he was little about it. And
his people really personally raised hell with the other side, huh?
Yes, sir.
One thing about Rather's people, they can never complain that we raised hell, because they didn't hear a word from us.
Not a single word. Not a single word.
You think that shook them up at CBS, huh?
Yes, I do. And I, in fact, I've had some indications that it did. It's hard to say. You know, a senator who's a presidential candidate.
I agree.
And sitting in the Oval Office, you know, mm-hmm. the environment is totally different. If he submits himself to meet the press, that's the name of the game.
That's right.
I think the biggest deficiency...
Of course, I've done meet the press at least a half a dozen times, and it's, you just have to sit there and take it, that's all. You never can show any irritation.
The other place that he's vulnerable as a result of this, and I think this one needs exploiting, is he's running on the trust Muskie theme. He's running on the theme that you can believe in him, you can't believe in Nixon, you can't believe in what the government says. And this business of not disclosing his campaign finances, on which they just zeroed in on him, and they...
Well, have we? I guess we have, yeah.
Well, you haven't been a candidate raising money, and...
That's correct.
That's different. And from now on, of course, we will.
We'll have Maury do that religiously.
But we're not being pious about it either. You see, he's being self-righteous, so he has established for himself a higher standard. And
That's an amusing, interesting point.
Well,
although don't they expect politicians to lie about that?
Yeah, but this is the one thing he's supposedly got going for him, is that he doesn't...
I see. But he doesn't lie.
Right. And if that image gets tarnished, oh, he doesn't have anything. He's...
You know, I'll tell you one thing. I wish they'd have Agnew next week. Agnew is damn good on these programs.
Now, he won't go on Meet the Press. I've had a hell of a time with him.
All right.
I'm trying to sell him it, but he just doesn't like NBC. And he'll go on issues.
He doesn't like CBS either.
No. He'll do issues and answers, but he won't... I don't know that he's on Face the Nation. I might get him on one, though.
He's so good. If he could get on soon.
I think, of course, they'd grab him if I could.
And they could compare him. You might. might just say, gee whiz, he's so good that he'll knock him dead.
We have Hugh Scott on Meet the Press this Sunday. He's got good. Maybe we can get Agnew on the week after or Face the Nation.
Yeah.
Maybe I can.
Yeah.
It'd be a good time for him to do that. He hasn't done one in quite a while.
He's awfully good on Q&A, and he must not hide that light under a bushel.
His spirits are up, too.
He's good on Q&A, and incidentally, of course, Connolly's superb, but we can't use him politically.
Mm-hmm.
But Agnew is, I've never seen him do bad. I've never watched him, but I've never seen bad reactions to what he's done. He's been damned. He's crisp. He's very intelligent, smooth. He's got class. A lot more than Muskie.
If anything, if there's any
fool,
he's a little too smooth. But other than that, I agree. He's superb in a Q&A environment, and he's handles himself beautifully. That's a damn good idea, and I think I think right now I could talk him into it. For some reason,
he's pursued it, but just say that after Muskie's performance for him to go on, you think it'd be a coup. Don't put it on me.
Just say that
a lot of people in your shop have just said that and said that he does so well that he'd kill these bastards.
Well, he's very cooperative right now. He got out a good statement on Muskie yesterday. It didn't get the play that it should have.
Sure, it never will, but it will. It will later.
If we keep hitting it right now, it's what the media is doing is very interesting. They're building up the Democratic side. This is this is their big
building up Humphrey and Muskie.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I think it's early for them too, and I think it helps us by contrast, Mr. President, to be totally non-political. All of the columns that are being written about the fact that you're not engaging in partisan activities, I think that's great. And let the
we'll play it that way for a while.
Let the other side be out there cutting each other up as they're doing.
Right.
And they're going to reply to the State of the Union on Friday.
Yeah, that's fine.
And
that's just great.
Kind of an interesting format.
Yeah, I know. Answer questions on telephone. That's interesting.
With the congressional leaders.
Yeah. That's a good gimmick.
Sure. Well,
I've done it on occasion.
Well, I don't think
you know the way it happens. The damn questions, they'll feed them all in, and they'll know what they are, and they'll answer them. That's the way it works.
I think it's going to be a hard thing for them to draw the issues that way.
Well, let me say, as far as drawing the issues is concerned, that sort of thing in the middle of the day is dead-assed.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing. That's why I'm glad we're doing it in the middle of the day.
I am, too. They're giving them the same time frame, which, from our standpoint, I think is just perfect. But the Fitz told me that
can't do anything with them.
But they've been to him twice, and they've been pretty tough with him. And he, first of all, he takes all the credit. He thinks that we made that move strictly for him. And
oh, balls.
Yeah, well.
Fitz knows better than that.
Of course, Fitz does. But he just says that this guy is...
Yeah, well.
Can't deal with him. And he's...
let him have it there. We're not going to be worried about that one, believe me. Just do the best we can.
Well, the thing I'm trying to get Fitz to do is to get him to go after Muskie. He's not even... He's paying no attention to Muskie. He's... I went back through the Manchester Union leader for 3 weeks, and hell, you can't find...
thing about Muskie.
Can't find anything about him. Nothing. Good or bad. He just... he builds up Yorty, builds up Ashbrook, and then has a couple of editorials a week that just cut the bejesus out of us. And that's Loeb, of course. He's got a one-track mind. Fitz is being very, very helpful to us. He's,
good.
All of his people, by the way, he told me he had what he called honor commitments out of them. All of the top fellows. I was amazed at the list he gave me from across the country. And
yeah.
He's also helping us on the West Coast dock strike. I don't know whether he's going to succeed, but...
well, I hope he can. I see he took another union in, too, with him, which is good.
Well, he's trying to take Bridges in, and he told Bridges that he would not support his strike, which really drove Bridges right to the wall, which, again, Fitz did for us. He's a tower of strength.
Yes, sir.
And I think we're going to find him awfully helpful this year. He's been... as I say, just spending his time recruiting and doing very, very well. Some of the key areas, you know, that can make a whale of a difference because those fellows infiltrate the building trade.
Particularly in these key industrials. I mean, basically, to me, it's New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Illinois.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Where it can help.
Yes, exactly.
Not so much in California. That's a volatile state, but those states, it can help enormously.
It can be terribly important in those states. Yeah. And Fitz says we shouldn't. He says we shouldn't write off Michigan. He said the.
I've heard others say that. I don't know whether they're right or not.
Well, I see no evidence that that Michigan is any different than it always has been, other than Fitz saying that his people, who are of course very strong there, and the general feeling in the auto workers, which he claims is
a little better,
it's they're having the best time they've ever had.
Yeah.
And that they're basically conservative fellows, notwithstanding Woodcock, and not to write it off. So,
right.
Glad
okay, you stay well, and
I'm fine.
I'm going to be busy this week, so I see you later.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Bird.
Yes, please.
Mr. Sapphire, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President.
Hello.
Mr. Sapphire.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. President.
How are you coming along now? When will you have the first draft?
Well, let's see. I would say I'm just following your outline, and I'm about a third of the way in now.
Mm-hmm.
I can have it late tonight if you need.
No,
it.
No. I don't want it that. Let us say that if you could have something tomorrow by 3:00,
that'd be better.
Well, I mean, is that enough time, or
yes.
Would you rather wait till tomorrow at 7:00?
No, 3:00. I should have it.
Then that'll give me something so that you don't get off on the wrong trail. that I can work on and pull it into a kind of, as I have some ideas on this that...
All right, now, how do you want me to work? Do I give this to Henry to work on, or...
No, you, in this instance, you were to work totally on this draft alone.
Right.
You see, because this is basically my thought, and bring me the first draft.
Right.
And just don't submit it to anybody. Don't. In other words, I'm not interested now at this point in substance. I'm interested in form.
Right.
You see, the difficulty is, I'm sure you could tell from the NSC draft, was that it was fine on substance and totally lacking in form.
Exactly, yeah.
And it would have been an utter disaster if it had been delivered that way. But that's all right. That's not their fault, because they aren't paid to do that kind of work. On the other hand, what really matters here is the form. The substance will carry itself. Now, the form is what we have to get into it, and that means chiseling all of that interminable discussion about what's confusing people about 9 points, 7 points, 8 points, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Where what comes through are just a few basic points to what we have offered and what they have rejected, what we offered. Well, first, that we have been, as I said in my outline, that I think beginning, reminding, I think it's not at all, it's always a good idea, repeat it as often as we can, of the enormous success we've had in the withdrawal of forces in Vietnamization. Don't you agree?
Yes.
I mean, that's
a lot of people.
The sophisticates, of course, all know that. But the folks forget. They forget that 500 million, I mean, a half a million will have been withdrawn by the 1st of May, that casualties are down. We might even use some rather graphic charts on that to show what has happened, you know, just to show that. Then that's right at the beginning. And then say, now, however, it's time to, rather than continuing, we'll continue, of course, this we can continue, that it's time to make a major effort to bring the war to an end through negotiated settlement. And here's what we've been doing. And the fact that we've had secret negotiations for certain reasons, which I think need to be explained briefly, that they have... And very, very briefly, that they've taken place over a period of time. You've got to lower key the constant references to Kissinger in it. You see, you can see that that's overdone, because that will simply irritate. No need to. I mean, the point is, I'm the one that proved the whole thing and developed the strategy, and we just got to say that on this such and such a date we offered this, and such and such a date we did this, et cetera, et cetera. You see what I mean?
I completely agree.
Don't you see my point on that?
And what I'm concerned with, though, is a reaction that might come that, well, obviously this means the secret talks have failed too, and...
Well, that's exactly it. The point that I raised with Henry, I said, well, maybe we shouldn't do this. So he said, well, do you agree? Do you think so?
Well, the way I'm trying to treat it is that...
So we're making a new offer.
Just as secret talks can sometimes break a public deadlock, sometimes a public disclosure can break a secret deadlock. And try to offer hope that way.
Yeah.
Maybe
basically, in the history of negotiations ending wars, there's always been a neat combination of secret and public talks. For example, the negotiations ending World War I were that way, you recall. There were secret negotiations going on between Colonel House and other people all that time. And then, of course, in World War II, as you know, there were talks long before the war was over. And then finally they became public and so forth. And so who knows what finally did it? But the point is that we are doing this in the thought that by this public disclosure that we will now, and also we're going somewhat beyond our offer. In other words, we're moving the deadline from 7 to 6 months. I think that in terms of what we have offered and do offer, it's a pretty damn good record. What do you think?
It's devastating as far as everybody's saying, how come we're not...
Why didn't we answer the 7 points? Why didn't we offer a deadline? Why didn't we offer a deadline ceasefire exchange for prisoners? Hell, we've done all that.
It will really trap the hell out of some people who are off on a limb so far, and you can just sew it off.
Yeah.
And we've got to avoid any hint of gloating about that.
No. That isn't our purpose.
Boy, a lot of other people will.
That isn't our purpose. That's why I low-key key, this business of the fact that, I think we can refer to the fact, just in a just matter of fact, that 3 months later, or whatever it was, the Senate, the Congress passed a resolution asking for the very thing that we had talked for, that we had offered, and had been turned down on in our speaker talks. I think that's worth making, don't you think?
Yes, yes.
But no, there should be absolutely no gloating. There should be, the purpose of this is not to win a debating point. The purpose of this is to break a deadlock. And that's
not to make points, but to make peace.
Yeah, which we've got to really hammer into Henry of two, so that he...
Just in terms of form now, you agree that the form of the NSC draft, which is essentially each one of the meetings and going into each one of the meetings seriatim, is wrong, and the way to do it is to highlight the key points and just specify what meetings.
Well, what I would... I think you do some... you say you are aware of the we are aware that on the negotiating front, this is what we have done. We have had blank public meetings that have been publicized, and some private meetings. But in addition to that, and as I said in my draft or my rough notes, that I determined in fall of 1969 that we ought to pursue other channels as well. See, nobody has believed this. This is going to be pretty good, Martin. You notice that I said, rather than the rest, look, we have pursued a number of channels and we've offered these things and so forth. But then I've never been able to say what, because I had to protect the channel.
Right.
We have pursued other channels. And so after consultation with the Secretary of State and Ambassador Bunker and our delegation in Paris, we decided to initiate some secret discussions with the North Vietnamese. And then say they began on October the 11th, 12 meetings were held, or 11 meetings, in which Dr. Kissinger flew to Paris and met secretly with, just briefly. That's good cops and robbers stuff.
Right.
Nobody knows it. And then these meetings were held. Progress was made on some progress was made on some of the issues, but the first critical point came in May of 1971 when we offered Henry can says it better orally than he has written it here, when we offered to give them a deadline, provided they would give us a ceasefire and prisoners, POWs. They rejected that. Then in August, we came back and offered a deadline of 9 months in return for ceasefire and POW. They rejected that. Then in October, we made another offer, this time of a deadline and a ceasefire and so forth. And now, of course, as you know, we have a two-phase offer we're making. We're offering now, we have offered a deadline in exchange for POWs in the first phase and a ceasefire and a new election in the second phase. So the main thing I want to get across here is that on the negotiating front, we've gone the extra mile, we're doing everything we can, and that people should unite behind this offer and quit nitpicking and back it up. Then the other thing is that we'll put the heat on them now. What the hell do they have to offer? They constantly come back and say, and incidentally, they always use the term that they have said in each case, they reject each offer and say that their condition for any kind of a settlement is, precondition, is the overthrow of the government of South Vietnam. Never say Q. That's another thing, that the government of South Vietnam. The overthrow of the government. You noticed I made several semantic things in there, that we overthrow the government of South Vietnam. This, of course, we refuse to do. Dramatic about this last thing is the offer of few to resign a month before new elections.
Right, that's a real snapper for the end.
Don't you think so?
Yeah.
He has offered to resign, and it can be conducted so that there can be a new election and so forth. So that's sort of the field. The main thing is to remember. number that we really have, this has got to be kept at 20 minutes. It just can't go beyond that. So that's 2,500 words. That's outside.
Right.
That's 125 words a minute. And I think 20 minutes is what it'll take. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Well, Henry, of course, blanched when I told him that my guidance for me was 20 minutes because he wants to sock into this thing just about every detail that ever happened.
You know how long his draft would take? About 38 minutes.
Yeah, and it's a nice paper, but it's not a speech.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, looking past the offer at the end, you know, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
On Thursday it'll be presented. In the peroration, is not the point of this whole thing that there are many times that a president cannot take the people into his confidence.
Yeah.
Has to negotiate in secret.
Yeah.
And has to rely on trust and faith.
Yeah.
And has to expend some of his.
And that in studying the ending of wars over the years, you might say anyone will recognize that has been the history. That's the record. That's the custom. But then go ahead.
Yeah. In other words.
But now I feel that. Or maybe you want to put that at the beginning.
No, I think it would be a
point
to make at the end.
And then, taking them into their confidence. Why? What do you say?
Well, the point I want to make, and this is not what you'd say, is that you've spent a lot of credibility in doing secretly what you had to do. Secretly.
Yeah, that's right.
And you could.
I realize that I have had to, in order to protect the secret negotiations, with the hope that they might feel. I could not reply when I was under attack for failing to respond to the 7 points we had answered to it, for failing to offer a deadline. We had offered a deadline. You see, that's that kind of thing. Is that
right.
What you meant?
Yeah, but and the fact that, you know, you're not asking for sympathy on it, that's what presidents are paid for.
That's right. That's right. However, but now we believe that now that we have reached this point, now as we reach the period when our withdrawal is being completed, it is time to end this war quickly, honorably, and in a way that there will be peace, not only for the United States, but peace for all of Southeast Asia. That's a nice line, too. See, that's another thing. You see, the Vietnamization means peace for America, ending our involvement, which is, of course, is a very fine term of art. But what everybody wants, what we want, is peace for us. Here is the way, and therefore, let's have it. As a matter of fact, you might work that theme in even at the beginning, where you say that on the course of Vietnamization, this can end our involvement and bring peace to the United States. However, what we want, our goal, is to, through negotiation, is to end our involvement sooner and bring peace not only to the United States, but peace to the long-suffering people, the 30, 40 million people of Southeast Asia who have been plagued by war for 25 years. That's not a bad theme.
Mm-hmm.
And that now let's show you what we're doing.
Right. Now, do you want to call on other nations at world opinion or anything like that?
No. It's such a futile and obviously weak thing to do. That, you know what I mean. I would do it if I. I mean, that's Johnsonian. It's not credible. I think we just say it out there. We ask for the support of the American people and of this proposal. We believe it's an honest proposal. We believe it's as far as any American would want to go. It will bring this war to an end, and by supporting it, by having a united front, it will hasten the day that we can have peace. Now, of course, whatever their reaction is, we're going to press this proposal. Press it and be willing to negotiate on it, not on a take or something like that.
Okay, I'll get this to you by 3 tomorrow, and then...
Now, if you'd like, as a matter of fact, 3 tomorrow is, if it pushes you too much, I make it 7 if you'd rather. Now, you just tell me, which is, I've got things I can do.
I'll deliver by 3 tomorrow.
Yeah,
I think you
prefer to work rather under a pressure cooker. Anyway, I'd like to get something by then, and then maybe we can start the next draft. So, but in your first rough cut at it, remember, send it to me first, because otherwise you'll get it. I don't want Henry to start worrying before he has reason to worry, see?
I'm sure he's worried already, but I'll get it to you first.
Yeah.
And then you
just say that you want to submit to me a rough cut to see if you're on the right track. And just tell him you're not ready yet.
Okay.
You can just tell him you haven't got anything yet, and then you can bring it back by to talk with me about it at 3 o'clock, as we say. And I'll look at it for a couple of hours tomorrow afternoon and give it back to you. Then you can go work up another cut and then show that to him.
Perfect.
And tell him that you don't expect to have a draft till late tomorrow night.
Right.
You better tell him that now. Fair enough?
Good up.
All right.
Right.
Bye. Hello.
Mr. Haldeman, sir.
Yeah.
You are.
Hello. Hello, Bob.
Yes, sir.
You having dinner?
No. No problem.
Almost. Yeah. Huh? Well, I wanted to say that I was thinking that if you could get that evaluation of this Price Buchanan memorandum, you know, it would be helpful in terms of sort of the tone of the State of the Union, because I can't shift it perceptibly, but I might want to. You see?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the more I think about it, I think, as I had, when I talked to Price, I talked to Ken Davis, I've always had serious doubts about his theory, because I think it's based on the wrong appraisal of the 70 election. Buchanan puts his finger right on it.
Right.
In other words, that we came out, you well remember, we came out
sure.
Just as well at the end as at the beginning. And it was only later, when the media began to do us that,
right.
As a result of our own...
And we gave them something to do it on.
We butched it up, let's face it. And, but Price, taking the, you know, the usual liberal thing, he had opposed doing anything in the campaign anyway.
Yeah.
Just figured that was the reason. But, but what's your offhand judgment at the moment? I mean, it's so easy to wait, like Connolly says, but it's also very very dangerous to wait.
No, I think he's right. I think it would be dangerous not to, for partly his reasons, but even more for yours, which are that...
I've already said I wasn't doing it.
But your other reason, which I don't think that matters, because I think you can change that. And besides what you said, this wouldn't be doing what you said you weren't going to do anyway. This doesn't have to be political at all.
That's right. But the timing?
But the question of timing. This is only January. You got 10 months to go.
Right.
And
you're right.
I don't think you can sustain it.
The point is that you've learned that Buchanan is so right. The whole quality of life crap, the revenue sharing, the welfare reform, all of it has been for nothing, hasn't it?
Not for nothing, because if you hadn't done it, then you'd have that. At least it's
yeah.
You know, covered that.
Hasn't helped much, though.
It hasn't gained anything, but it's avoided some losses. Yeah.
I think
probably gained something. You'd look pretty barren without it.
Yeah, maybe so.
But it's the
job. Well, in any event, let me just say, yep, I'd like to see what Price's analysis. You sit down and talk with him about it.
Yeah.
Don't let him sit and amuse about it and figure up some defenses.
Right.
See what he thinks.
Okay.
Also. And who else's judgment would be good on this? Maybe Ehrlichman? No, not at this point. He's too busy of programs.
That's it. He's kind of absorbed in...
That's right.
The other stuff. If Lent's still here, it'd be interesting.
Garment would be interesting, but you've got to hit Garment hard and say, now look here, Buchanan is right about the 70 campaign, and don't let your liberal things knock you out of the ballpark here. See?
Well, let me talk to you.
Because Len is a fighter. And but they all have this illusion that everything that we did prior to the 1968 election was in all loves and kisses and roses and so forth. They forget that the period when we had the most trouble in 68 was when we were sort of gliding along toward end. Remember?
That's right.
We weren't taking anybody on.
Well, when you launched all your positive programs and all
everybody said, let's have the positive programs. Put the all things out. They didn't mean one damn thing. Okay, Dick Moore is a good one. Anybody else you think of? I think that's enough. Colson's judgment wouldn't be good.
I'm not sure what his would be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be, but he's too, he's a tactician. But I think Dick Morris would be very good. And, Garments, I think Sapphires might be. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it would.
Fine. Okay. Okay, try them on. Okay,
okay.
Bye.
Rebozo, please.
And then I'll have you come by, say, at around 3.
Fine.
we can chat about it. Because, you see, then I got to get back to the State of the Union, and Ray's going to have another draft at 4. And I'm forgetting this damn thing until after the State of the Union and finish it off next Monday.
Big week for speeches.
Oh, yeah. Crap. Okay. How's it coming? You beginning to feel good about it?
Yeah.
Theme and so forth and so on?
Well, your direction was pretty clear. I mean, I followed your outline and took a crack at the ending. I'm sure Henry will have some ritualistic language he will
have. We'll see about that. But I meant, the main point is, more important than his ritualistic language is the direction and what we really say here, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think if believability and credibility is the theme, it sure makes it.
Yeah. Well, the point that I was going to make is that I think this idea of I think one of the most powerful points is this, that here we were basically in a bomb shelter, and it says when people were asking why didn't we respond to 7 point, why didn't we agree for a deadline, why didn't we agree to change POWs for deadline and so forth, I said I had to remain silent in order to, because the only hope of negotiations at the time that both sides were seriously negotiating secretly was to keep them secret. So now, however, I think that's a powerful point, the fact that we took the goddamn heat when we could have blown them out of the water.
I'm leaning very hard on that.
Okay.
Maybe too hard.
Good.
Now, whom should I leave this with it to?
You come over at the EOB.
Right.
You over there. Munson will be out there. Manola's not here today. Just give it to him, and he'll bring it in to me.
Right.
Subjects to talk about. Hello.
Mr. President, thank you. There you are.
Hello?
Mr. President.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Mike and I are here to inform you that the Senate has assembled, and we haven't received any communications from you.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope that both Mike and you had a little time off, Mike in Florida and you in Philadelphia.
That's right. I had quiet time at home. I'm going to get ready
right.
for...
And how about you, Mike?
Oh, fine, Mr. President.
Right.
Good rest. Do you intend to address the joint session at 12:30 on Thursday next?
Yes. In fact, that's Thursday, day after tomorrow. If I'm, unless I come down with pneumonia, I'll be there. So I'll look forward to seeing you at 12:30, and I'll try not to keep you too long. About 3 hours.
That's fair. 3 hours.
Is that fair enough?
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Delighted to have you come up and visit your old place in the Senate floor anytime during the session.
I'll tell you, I think I will do that one time. It occurred to me it would be a good idea, you know, just for old time's sake. We'll come up and maybe have a little lunch with Mike and you and the rest. And,
well, we'd love it.
And
I'd be happy if you would, sir.
Have a little fun, you know, and forget politics for a while.
That's right.
Yeah, in fact, I was just thinking, Mike, that you and you are the only two people I know in the Senate that aren't candidates, so I'm glad to talk to you.
Yeah.
Or, Mike, are you a candidate?
No.
Tell me. Don't keep me in the dark now.
Oh, no. You can bet on that.
All right, Mike. Okay.
Okay, Mr. President.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. President.
We look forward to seeing you.
Yes.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. President, Congressman Boggs, Ford, and O'Neill to talk to you. Fine. There you are.
Hello.
Hey, Mr. President.
Well, how are you?
Hail, Boggs.
Well, we're glad you're all back in town and in good health and on such a beautiful winter day.
Thank you, Mr. President. Jerry Ford right here. And Tip O'Neill's coming in just a minute.
Right.
New Year, Mr.
Yes.
President.
Well, happy New Year.
Get you properly reimbursed for that wager we made.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, I'll tell you, we'll contribute it to some good cause, like the athletic fund of the University of Michigan, so they can buy compensate an adequate quarterback. No, that quarterback was all right.
I thought you were coming down to the Super Bowl.
I saw it on TV. It was a good thing, wasn't it? Yeah. Boy, those Texans were magnificent. That was a great
thing. You know why we're calling you.
Right.
Convene, we all assemble, and we're ready to receive any communication.
Fine. Well, we've got quite a mass of stuff. We're going to do. I'll be down. I would like to come down Tuesday. Thursday at 12:30, as you know. I'm not going to hold you. I mean,
hello.
I'm not going to. Hello, hi.
Tip,
how are you?
Well,
glad to have you back. And
I was down there in New Orleans waiting for that play that you sent.
Yeah, that tell you.
Only one that worked.
Yeah. The only trouble was that they didn't have enough of them.
Yeah.
Well, did you
because you were with them, but
that's right.
The way it went, I figured I said,
I'm always for the home team.
This fellow's a great strategist.
Yeah, but the Cowboys, nobody's going to beat them for 2 or 3 years.
Well, we'll announce then, Mr. President, that you will speak to a joint session at 12:30.
Fine. Also, I'm going to do something that's different. I'm going to give it so that my oral message will not be as interminable length. We're going to give you a written message, too. You remember, except until Woodrow Wilson, except for Jefferson, all messages, as you recall, were written. But in this instance, I think the combination will be good, and
I think so.
We'll give you that tomorrow and the other one on Thursday.
Right.
Fair enough?
Well, we look forward to seeing you. Yes, Jerry.
All right.
Fine.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to seeing all of you, and don't do anything till I get there, please. Okay?
Well, we got a couple of matters.
Fair enough.
Handling the routine,
yeah.
But we're looking forward to Thursday.
You know, it's one thing I want to say to all you fellows that's very surprising to me, though, that it is the House is a much bigger body than the Senate. You got 435, they only got 100. And yet they got 10 times as many presidential candidates. Now, what's the matter with you guys? Huh?
Well, you don't want us to dredge up anymore, do you?
No, I think you've got enough. Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Nice to talk to you.
All right, thank you.
Bye, Mr. President.
Please.
Secretary Conley, please.
Thank you, sir.
Hello.
Secretary Conley, sir.
Yes, sir. John, just in terms, if you would handle it with Arthur guidance, could it, with regard to that budget thing, I find that the message goes out Monday rather than Tuesday.
Yes, sir.
So the Sunday papers is the right kind of leak.
Right.
On the leak, however, or the leak, the way I think it should be handled, rather than giving away the story, is to build it up by you in your own way, and to the extent that you thought, want to have Arthur do something, just simply say that consideration is being given to this recommended by. You see what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And then, the way I plan to do it is when I sign the budget message, then I will state it.
All right.
So that'll give us two bites at the apple. Would you not agree?
All right, sir.
So if you and he could both say that recommended by, and then you can give all the background as to why we think it's a good idea, what the problems are, and so forth. But the president is considering it, and we'll make a decision on it and announce it tomorrow.
All right, sir.
At the budget message thing.
That's fine. I'll follow through with him.
Good. And you tell him. I won't call him.
All right, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Sir, thank you.
Yes, please.
Would you ask Mr. Sapphire to come to the EOB, please?
Yes, sir.